Mike had a question. Mike, can you get the mic and ask it?
Sure. No, I was just...
question or comment?
Yeah, an observation, I guess. I was sharing to Pastor Joey, saying that as I listen, it's almost like a conviction, a personal conviction. I mean, we can see it in the life of Pastor Joey that, you know, in the his lens, everything about vision, values. I was just curious and asked the question, was there a turning point? Maybe I was just going back to Sunday's preaching. Maybe, Pastor Joey, you can share to us your turning point or a realization when you started experiencing or having a revelation of values and vision and applying it in your own life. So,
I think it's progressive. Kasi even values, parang ganito yan, di ba? Pag klaro sa'yo to, kasi ako, long before I saw it in Matthew 6, this is clear to me. I think it's instinctive. No? It's very, very clear to me. There are values. Di ba? Because I'm honest with myself. The sad part sometimes about Christian leaders, or leaders for that matter, is they want to impart, not based on values, but on their personal lives, they actually behave. You follow what I'm saying? We want our members to do life, not based on values, but based on, we don't want to offer things based on values. Pero pagdating sa personal life natin, we live life based on values. Diba? Diba kung minsan sasabihin mo sa tao mo, oh, ikaw, gawin mo to, diba, mag-volunteer ka, pero ikaw mismo, hindi mo naman gagawin yun. Yeah. If you were left to yourself, you're not going to behave that way. That's the sad part. But if you're true to yourself and you're integral or you have integrity, you know that that's really how life is lived. I remember years ago, si Demi Reyes was a volunteer in the Makati Church. Or for that matter, Poseng. Every time I had an opportunity, I would tell them, listen, I don't want you to attend the meeting today because you've been attending for the last 3 weeks. I want you to go home and take care of your wife. And what I was doing was, I was treating them based on value because I want to be treated that. In fact, Steve treated me that way. Because if he didn't treat me that way, I wouldn't be here today. I'm going to burn out. And sometimes you don't understand because your set of values are wrong. You're not treating the guy based on values. Give me an example. Donors, watch out, be careful. Lalo na ngayon, we have so many. We have Life Box, we have Real Life, we have 10 days. We have all kinds of people asking money from our people. You keep asking money from people, after a while, they're going to say, do you still value me? Or are you just using me? You be careful. But when you have a values lens, everything you look at is like that. Then you become protective of people because you know it's the same with you. Can you imagine if everybody's faxing you already and asking you for a donation? How would you feel? It's the same. So it's a journey, I think, with me when this became clear to me. What do you value? The things you enjoy. Why do you go to the mall? Enjoyable. What do you value? What's fulfilling to you? What is that? That's your work. That's your relationships. These things kasi don't necessarily... The other problem sometimes with leaders is we dichotomize. And that's the good thing about values is you don't. Because values are fluid. The value of the dollar shifts from minute to minute. So if you dichotomize, you're just looking at this. The value, like I said, the water thing. If you're valuing water, it shifts. But yesterday, water was valuable. Now it's no more value. So if you're still looking at that, it shifts. That's why there's an alertness. That's why there's a level of discipline that comes with it. Because you know this thing's fluid. This thing moves. But the good part is, when it becomes culture, it no longer becomes discipline because that's just how you are. If you get to the place where your values, vision, and your language becomes like that over a period of time, I don't think about this anymore. It's like your blood. You don't think about, oh, when is my red blood cells going to give oxygen? Or when will my white blood cells kill the viruses? Or when will my platelets? No, those things work together for good. Sabay-sabay yan. I mean, they're all working. That's the same here. Before I stepped in here, my mother had a desperate call. I need to go to the hospital, blah, 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 blah. So That's valuable to me. That's life. That's my mother's, my 80-year-old mother's in trouble. But I have a responsibility here. I still have to deliver this. So I got to figure out what to do with that. I have to call up my wife, figure out, okay, tell Joshua to send the driver back. Tell my sister, do this. Call up the maid, get ready for this. It's light. It's fluid. Did I expect that? No, I got the call at 1:10. That's 20 minutes before I'm going into a class. But that's life. Life's like that. When you run a church, you're going to have problems left and right. You're going to have all kinds of situations. And you're going to be called upon to make value-based decisions. That's why you're a leader. If you don't get this, you shouldn't be leading. Hello? because you're going to make decisions that are not based on values. So if you're not making decisions based on values, then the next question is, are you creating value? So if you're not creating values, then why should you enjoy value? But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be a member of the church. I mean, if you want to be a member of the church, then be a member of the church. But if you're going to lead, you got to lead based on values. Because you have to create value. If you don't want that, that's fine. I'm just saying, at some point in time, this is not victory. This is universal. This is, if you quit this and go work for Focus on the Family, it's the same. You're going to expect the same thing. Wherever you go, it's the same. If you quit and work for CBN, I had a guy come up to me, a member of our church, one of our staff, came up to me while I was walking back from Starbucks. He said, I wanted to ask you if you could help me get a job with Gordon Robertson because I want to live in Israel. Sure. Email me your values. Because Gordon is going to look at your values. Are you worth hiring? And then when he finally hires you, he's going to see if you are worth keeping. And why not? You want him to pay you his values. The sad thing is that sometimes the church doesn't want to think this way. But I'm trying to explain to you is, as the world becomes... By the way, when I was in Korea, they were saying that Islam grew by more than 400% over the last 50 years. Okay? Christianity grew by less than 50%. We're losing. But the bigger threat is not even that. The bigger threat is the most popular book in the world is Dan Brown. Secularism is way beyond you. Harry Potter is way ahead of us. Why do people buy that? It has value for them. And you're not creating value. Hello? Yeah.
Regarding the value and how you put that in your local church. And I know, like McDonald's, but they have a four word that they keep pounding.
QCVS,
quality service, value,
yeah,
and cleanliness.
Yeah.
Well, how does that fall into our culture?
Ours is very clear. I mean, we have an entire statement of values, right? Of deliverables in our worship services, discipleship. That's very, very clear. That's what we did 2 years ago. That's what we didn't have before, that now we have. Because before, remember, it was one big caldero. Everybody was halo-halo. We had everything. Missions, Talents Inc. It was like one big jamboree. But then we had everything was just, how do you determine what is valuable there? You can't. So now we're very defined. And we're getting to the place where we're defining the values of real life. We're defining the values of missions, we're defining the values of Lifebox. It's going to boil down to that. That's the bottom line. But in answer to your question, it's a journey. You don't ever arrive. The key important thing is, because compass, values is your compass. Vision is your picture. So when you get to the place where, okay, we're now, the original vision here is take this to 5,000. We're 5,000. Take it to 10,000. We're 10,000. Now the new vision is take it to 20,000. You keep expanding that vision, and as that vision expands, your faith gets higher, diba? Now, okay, we need a parking building so we can start services here on a Monday. We need this to start, di ba? Mag-expand siya. It's a journey. That's why it's fun. Yeah. And it's not really a sacrifice. It's a way of doing life. Eh. It's culture. What is culture? That which you do without thinking. Di ba? There's certain Filipino culture. You do it, you're not thinking anymore. This is the way you are. And those come from your values, your vision, your language, committed over time, consistently done. Consistency kasi is critical in creating culture. 0 to 100%. Let's talk about anything. Money, finance, education, savings, exercise. Start ka. You generate X amount. You reach 30%. If you stop and become inconsistent, where will you be? Where? The longer you become inconsistent, back to zero, di ba, you start again. Yeah. But consistency kasi, kahit na slow siya, like say, you're reading your Bible 90 minutes every day, you do that over a span of 15 years, you're going to be a Bible expert even if you didn't go to school. Because you're just consistent. So, the culture improves. In answer to your question, you evolve. Diba? Because one thing leads to the next. Diba? Once now you're reading this book, you're learning more. Oh, okay, this book is talking about this other book. So now you're buying that other book. And then it adds. Eh. Diba? Kaya consistency is so critical. It becomes, and then as that happens, it becomes culture. Palaki siya ng palaki. Then the pie gets, the value gets bigger. Palaki siya ng palaki. So then you're figuring out, when did it start? It starts here. It's back to values. What is it that you truly value? And then out of that, that is why my exercise for you kanina is, if you could take a while, di ba, what are some pictures that you want to make for those values? Give you an example. For example, I want to learn the Bible more. I don't want to just know the Bible. I don't want to just learn the Bible. I want, at some point, I want to be a Bible expert. So that's part of my visual. So I'm envisioning that. I'm constantly envisioning that, constantly studying that. Got up this morning, read it again. I'm going to do exactly the same thing tomorrow. I'm going to do it, rain or shine. I'm going to do it. Because that's the commitment and that's the consistency. Because that's the visual. That's the visual, di ba? I want to become a Bible expert. Not so I can tell people I'm a Bible expert, but because I want to become a Bible expert. I want to make sure. Ito na yung pinanindigan kong trabaho. I want to make sure I really know what I'm talking about. What's the visual now for my life, diba? For my marriage. Kaya ako binili ng aso eh. Yeah. Because the older you get in your marriage, you know, it gets old. Diba? Now that there's a dog, all of a sudden, visual yon, diba? I want to do this. Yeah. Am I reaching out to my sons? I'm planning now vacation. Diba? May visual ka. You have to have that. Then down to your ministry. Diba? What my career, what am I looking at? Where am I going to go from here? I mean, in fact, I think about this a lot, no? Because I have probably 11 years left. At 65, I probably have to retire from my day-to-day duties, but I still have to work. So what will that look like? I have to have a visual fix on that. What's that going to look like? So vision is always the future, eh, diba? So in order to perpetuate that, I'm going to have a vision for my health. Because I have to be healthy to be able to do what that vision entails. Kabit-kabit siya eh. Fluid ang ano eh. That's why this is a little hard to accept sometimes, is because many times we're looking for a formula. And there's none. There's a play. There's a play with values. They change. They shift. But now my world has shifted because of Japan. I'm monitoring what's happening there because we have 11 churches there, and since I'm the Asian head, I gotta figure out how to help them. I've gotta move the entire Asian leadership team meeting is moving here next month instead of there. So I had to call a meeting and organize how to get everybody moved here. So mag-shift yung values ko. Because, and that's the amazing thing. Kung sanay ka sa values, then I shift here without dropping this. Diba? I shift here, but I still have to show up on Sunday and preach. I still have to be on Friday because Paolo is going to be on vacation. I still have to do Victory Weekend on Friday. Which means, there are certain things at the enjoy level and the other levels where I have to, mamaya na muna kayo. Diba? Because there are other values that have to be fulfilled. But if you don't have a grid to guide you, what's going to happen is you're going to end up doing things, okay, you enjoyed that, but you didn't deliver this, which is an important value that you should be delivering. Any thoughts, gentlemen? Christian, any thoughts? Can you get a mic? Yeah.
I was just contemplating until today the importance of the commitment part.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy, as you said, to develop visions and even values. You may see that you're valuing something, but if you don't commit to it, it's going to be nothing.
It's great.
So,
but and like I said, though, when you go into commitment, keep those words in mind because that really helped me. Am I taking action and initiative? Am I committing to do that? Number two, am I appropriating resources, time, effort, energy, and faith? Diba? Because there is an appropriation to fulfill a commitment. It's not going to happen if you don't put in the time, effort, and energy and the faith required to fulfill it. Number three, is there a restriction? Is there a, diba? If I say I confine you, I restrict you into a certain place. Diba? You're confined to this. You're confined to quarters. There's a restriction. Diba? There's certain things I just don't do. There's just certain things I refuse to do because they're not worth doing. They have no value. At least as far as these six values are concerned. Any others? Jason, any thoughts? You have a mic? Yeah, Noel, go. You're next.
I was just contemplating what you said, Pastor Joey, when you said that all of the things that you, the values there, are all intertwined. Because, you know, I probably take a privilege when I was looking at the way you were living your life. Everything was not set as it is right now, but I was looking at that in your life when I was younger as a Christian. Which brings me to the point of, I want to value what this guy's valuing. And I realize in my own life, in my own looking at a person who values and vision, I was looking at my life in my faith journey with God. Everything, you know, I really wanted to have hearing God and obeying Him. Because that wasn't really a value that I had when I was younger as a Christian. And yes, I understand that also meant that I'm not supposed to be, you know, reading all of those trash things and stuff. So I have to train myself hearing God's voice and really obeying God, not literally just making, if it doesn't make sense, I don't want to obey it or something like that. So, and then which brings me to another intertwined in my life that I know that one day God's going to give me a woman to marry. So parang nakikita ko intertwining of the value of all of that. So I'm sorry, but I just have to say. But then it doesn't translate into reality because I was approaching, you know, the age of, you know, when I was, I realized when I was about to turn, 5 years before I turned 40, I was looking at the way I live. How am I going to get, you know, a wife na, you know, if I get older? Tapos, so that's why I made now another value when I read the book of Caleb. Caleb in I was 85 years old. I was 45 years old when Moses sent me out to spy the land. And here I am at 85. I am still as strong as when Moses sent me out to spy the land. Therefore, I got that value again to train my body because I want to be 85 and really be in the ministry, love my wife, you know, hear God, etc., etc. And then which also brought me now to another when God gave me a beautiful wife. I realize now there are still a lot of things that I need to change because as a single person, I used to be loving, you know, I live a pretty quote-unquote rock star life. I wanted to really have all of those friends and all of that. And I go out every day, every now and then. And then when I have a wife, it confined me now to really get myself, you know, because the ministry gets busier every day. people are taking, you know, people are putting their schedules on you. If I don't put a value on my schedules, you know, with my God, with my, you know, with my wife, and you know, when my wife got pregnant, it again gave me another, you know, it gave me another thing that I need to value more, my time taking care of her, et cetera, et cetera. And then another value that I had, you know, in my journey with God is I have to really get, you know, prepare myself for the future, providing for them, et cetera, et cetera. Which brings me now to the money issue. But then when I look at my finances, it wasn't really there. You know, I have credit card debt, so I put a value to it. I have to put a stop in my spending habits and all that. I have to check on my credit card bills, etc. And made a value now, you know, to really be in check with my, and I'm just, thank God for everything. I really zeroed out on my credit card debts, and thank God for that. But it took me years for me, but, you know, the values really, All I'm saying, Pastor Joe, is that when you were saying that, everything is interconnected and intertwined, but it all began with someone, you know, I see someone that values something, so I got that. And then when I get that value myself, everything in my life now started to make sense. And I'm not saying that I'm already there, but all I'm saying is that I'm beginning to appreciate more the vision and values because it gives... Now, it gives and adds value to my life, and it adds value also to the people I'm with as well.
Think about it. You saw that in me. The people who are with you now are seeing it in you. Because that's how it works. I say, inevitable, because it's written in their soul. They're actually looking for someone who can get it all working together. And when you see it, obviously, kasi, di ba, ikaw, wouldn't you follow someone whom you know is godly? Wouldn't you follow someone whom you know their marriage works, their kids love them, their family loves them, their friends love them? Wouldn't you follow someone who's healthy? I mean, look at two leaders, and you look at one who's unhealthy and one who's healthy. Who would you follow? It's common sense. you don't have to debate it. You don't have to tell anybody, di ba? You look at somebody and you say, okay, the guy's got his money. He's not rich. But you know he's not in debt. You know he's not in shortage. You know he's not in lack. Of course, you'll follow him. There's no discussion there. You look at somebody and he's enjoying himself. He's actually having fun doing this. Can you imagine? The guy's actually having fun. He's not getting tired. He's not getting exhausted. He's not burning out. He has time for everything. He actually came from a party. And then came and did his job. Wouldn't you follow somebody like that? You would. I would. In fact, that's why I followed Steve Merle, because I saw it in him. In fact, early on, I was watching him. I said, gosh, this guy has time to go to the gym? I know how busy he is. I know how limited his funds are. He's my next door neighbor. So so you don't have to ask somebody to follow you. They will follow you. Then you start asking about fulfillment. You look at their careers, you look at their jobs, you look at their advancement in life. Of course. It's the same. It's no different. Jason, any thoughts?
With me, I guess it's values is sacrificing something for something better. So as a businessman before, what I value is to learn more about business, to learn more about marketing. And I discipline myself to read at least one book a week about business and marketing. So now that I became a pastor, I have to sacrifice that and to change it to books about Joseph Prince and how to.
There are mga internal joke eh, Joseph Prince.
I have to read about theology, books about Kenneth Copeland. So it's similar with my kids right now, since my kids are still babies. One is 3 and one is 1 year old. So I have to sacrifice, just like what Noel was saying, I have to sacrifice time with friends to be with my family, to spend time at least an hour a day, and to just play with them, be with them. Kahit wala kayong ginagawa, do that. So it's really sacrificing something good to get something better and to reach that vision which will provide the best that God has for you.
Excellent. while you're handing that mic, at the onset, it is a sacrifice. At the level of culture, it no longer is. Because at the level of culture, this is just how life's done. I don't sacrifice to exercise. I don't sacrifice to read my Bible. I don't sacrifice to be with my kids. I don't sacrifice. I talked to my son, David, and congratulated him and said, David, after 3.5 years of taking over my business, you've taken it to another level. It took me 15 minutes. There's no sacrifice for me there. Dave, I just want to pray for you. And said, Pop, are you going to go to the Habitat build this Saturday? I said, sure, I'm going to be there. I'll help you build the house. That's not a sacrifice. That's just hanging out with him. Because the value is, I want to be with him. I want to. So at the onset, the values thing, because you're not used to it, is a sacrifice. But at some point, no, this is really what's culture to me. This is more valuable to me. To be with my son is not a sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to get a clarification, because when I was hearing Noel saying, I want to pursue that value, in my mind, you don't pursue value, you pursue vision.
Right.
You pursue God. Value is like your filter. It's what you keep as you pursue.
Right. It's set.
It's a set thing, yeah, that you cannot. It's so
point.
Important that you don't want to let go of this.
That's
as
good
you
point.
Pursue this.
That's a good point.
But you don't pursue the value. I don't want to pursue a money or
no.
just health. I want to pursue God.
Yeah.
The vision with, you know, a healthy life as I keep on pursuing that one.
Excellent. And remember that values are not equals. God is infinitely more valuable. This set is infinitely more valuable than that. And here, God is infinitely more valuable than life, and life more valuable than body. In other words, so hindi siya pantay-pantay, di ba? There are things that are more important, but at the same breath, I can't make my relationship with God work without my body. I have to read my Bible with my body. I have to read my Bible and keep my relationships. I have to eat. I have to have money. You can't discount it. That's why it's interesting. That's why the biggest mistake is when you boil Christianity and religion down to a formula, because it's not. You cannot formulate this. It's very fluid. It keeps moving. Okay? Now, in session two, just now switching to a more practical theme in terms of now I've got, how do I now turn this vision and this value into something that's concrete, that's, I'm seeing something, okay? Now, remember, you remember Purpose-Driven Church by Rick Warren. He drew committed members, congregation, and then you have the crowd and the general public, diba? And each of these are layers of communication. It would be like your family. In fact, the greatest challenge for victory going forward is this thing called clarifying or communicating things. We just had our real-life strategic planning meeting last week. And it's interesting that even at the apostolic level, we weren't clear about some of the things about real life. Okay? So in other words, communication and clarity is very, very important. The good news is after spending 1.5 days together, clarity is critical. The clearer the vision is, the simpler it is, the easier it's for people to latch onto it, the better things will be. So in the same manner, that's your job. That's my job as a leader, is to keep clarifying vision. Make sure I know what my values are, make sure what my pictures are, and then how do I clarify that? Because in clarifying vision, that's what's going to allow you now to transform that vision from just something that's ethereal and up there into something that's physical. That's the job of a designer. That's the job of a leader. That's who architects are. An architect takes something that's just an idea that doesn't exist and then takes it from being just an idea to a plan and eventually into something that's concrete, like this building. When we first started this building, there was no building. There was nothing. But there was an idea of what we wanted. We spent, I don't know if I shared with you guys, we spent 2 years planning this building. And a lot of the plans was a discussion on how big Children's Church was going to be, because that's the future, as we've said. And if you look at this building, the Children's Church is the same size as the auditorium. It's the same size. Because that was years and months of arguing and discussing that if we really, and we know that there were going to be less children and more adults, and yet, if you look at this, the ground floor is entirely children, and the second floor is the same size. Okay. But this is dedicated to children's ministry. But that's part of the discussion. That's part of, because your values became a picture and a vision, transformed into a plan, which is what you are in the building today. That's how you're going to build the second building. That's how you're going to have, I was just sharing with the apostolic team, is it so hard to have a vision to believe that we can have five buildings like this all over Metro Manila? And is it so hard to believe that each building like this will have its own component of victory, real life, life box? And is that so hard to believe? Is it so hard to believe that one building like this can be surrounded by five other congregations in malls and maybe 10 or 20 real life centers? No, it's not so hard to believe. Because at the end of the day, if you can build 1 hectare from zero, why can't you build 5 hectares from 52,000? Now your value increases, doesn't it? Diba? I mean, isn't that common sense? If you can build a building like this, which is 1 hectare, from a zero base, why can't you build 5 of these from a 52,000 base? Is that possible? So all of a sudden, your values are bigger. Right? You're not looking at the pie. You're looking at making a bigger pie. Okay? So how do I turn this? The key, one of the keys to vision is clarity. And in your manuals, it says clarity empowers people. The clearer your vision is, and the clearer your values are, the more it will empower people. I look at my own children and how they're running and doing stuff. And people keep asking me, how much time do you spend with these guys? Not very much. Because their values are very, very clear. And the vision is very, very clear. The clearer you get your values and vision, the easier is it for people to run. Easier for your family to run. There's so many moving parts. I mean, I don't, but how much time do I spend with Paolo Ponsala? Not much. It's clear. The clearer you get that. So your job as a leader is not just to understand what values are and what vision is, but keep clarifying that. Keep clarifying that. That's what we went and sat down with Linda Wata about. Lin, let's clarify this. What is this about? Let's break this down. Clarify. Because the clearer things get, the more empowered people get. Number two is clarity puts everyone on the same page. Very often, the reason why people are running in different places because it's not clear. When you start clarifying things, I like what, at the end of our meeting, Pastor June stood up and said, wow. From our real life meeting, it's like, the future's bright. Okay, you see? It's clear, okay? It not only empowers people, now we're all on the same page, now we know how to take this, where to take this. Number three is clarity allows us to work in teams. When it's clear, isn't it amazing that where is it that there's so much teamwork? What branch of society where do you find the most teamwork? Why? Because the goal is clear. In other words, the goal is clear. Shoot the ball. Beat the enemy. When your goal is not clear, it's hard to work as a team. But when the game is clear, make the vision clear. Here's where we're going. Here's what we're doing. It's easy to work together, isn't it? And that's what we did. We started, okay, move this thing out. This team, that's your goal. This thing, this is your goal. This thing, this is your goal. Worship services, this is your goal. Discipleship ministry, this is your goal. Pastoral service, this is your goal. Administration, this is your goal. Management, this is your goal. Missions, this is your goal. Clear. Easy to work in teams. When you don't have clarity, it's hard. Because nobody knows what's the goal. What are we trying to do here? Okay? Clarity reduces potential confusion, false expectations, and disorder. When things are clear, the potential for confusion is very low. the potential for false expectations. People are expecting something that's not what we're trying to do here. Order, disorder. Things are clear. So our job is to keep constantly clarifying first in our own hearts. And some of this is going to be born out of prayer. Lord, clarify my values for this hour. Lord, saan ba talaga? Ano ba yung, what do you want me to do now? Because I'm in transition. I've got Metro Manila. I've got Asia. I've got the Philippines. I've got this book. I just got a contract for a world publishing of my book. Which is the most valuable thing here, Lord? I mean, how do I navigate all of this all at the same time? I've got a wife. I've got a family. I've got all sorts of things that I've got to do. I've got to keep constantly clarifying in my mind. Okay? Importante yan, because then my secretary, my assistant, my staff, my wife, my children, and those around me, my sphere is going to get confused. Paul is going to ask me, okay, how much can I get from you? How much can you give me? I've got to keep clarifying that. I got to constantly communicate that and clarify and clarify. Clarity increases productivity. The more clear we are, it just bumps up productivity. You think about how we've grown in the recent futures because we've clarified things. Okay, your job, okay, is you're a lead pastor. Okay, your job is you're a discipleship pastor. Your job is you're a pastoral services pastor. We've clarified things. And since you clarify things, you bump things up. Your productivity jumps up. Finally, the lack of clarity is dangerous. I have a story here for you, which is what we're going to dwell on. It's a story of a vision in a man's heart that he wanted to become a reality. And he had to clarify his vision. This is actually very interesting because it's not only a vision that he had to build a temple for God in Israel. The other thing that was happening here was this was a very trying time because he was aging. This is a moment in the book of 1 Chronicles where David is aging and he wanted to build the house of God. He's in transition. It's a challenging time. He's dealing with a younger man that he's transitioning this thing to. Okay? And the guy lacked stature. The guy lacked experience. But he knew he was the guy. Okay? So what we're looking at here is how he transitioned that and how he clarified his plans. Because ultimately, when you talk about vision, the way you clarify vision, the same way that an architect clarifies a vision of a building is, it will have to translate into a plan. Got it? In other words, if you have an architect does not just have a vision of a building, at some point that visual has to translate into a physical plan, and then that plan has to be implemented in order for that vision to become reality. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's what we're going to look at. 1 Chronicles 28:11. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple, its buildings, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner rooms, and the place of atonement. So here's David and giving his son plans. And it's sad sometimes that Christian leaders are so adverse to planning. It's funny how we don't like planning. And it's sad that how Christian leaders think that planning is actually unspiritual. That when you plan, it's wrong. In fact, there was a season in the 80s in the charismatic movement that if you plan, you were not being led by the Holy Spirit. Which is stupid. Because if you study the Bible, as we're about to do now, plans is a big part of God. Verse 12, he gave him plans, and here's what it says, of all the Spirit had put in his mind. Plans is actually spiritual. Yes. David is saying here that the plans that I'm giving you actually came from the Spirit of God. And so when you say that planning is not spiritual, your vision is probably not going to be transformed, it will never transform into reality. And herein lies, again, back to the whole commitment stuff where you've got to have plans. You've got to commit yourself to these plans and execute them. Okay? So one statement I want to make is planning is spiritual. The idea that planning is unspiritual is bad theology. Okay, that's not even biblical. Why? Because God, in your forms there, God is a planner. Hebrews 11:10 says, he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. God's an architect. God is actually a master planner. Psalm 33 verse 11 says, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purpose of his heart through all generations. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. In other words, God expects us to plan. Proverbs 12:5, the plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Proverbs 20 verse 4, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. In other words, if you don't have plans, you most likely will not succeed. Because he says what will succeed are your what? Your plans. So if you don't have plans, how are you going to succeed? You didn't have to make plans. Okay? Obviously, our plans must be according to God's purposes. Proverbs 19:21 warns us, many are the plans in the man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So obviously, there has to be a place where this vision that we have and these values that we have are according to God's ultimate purpose, which we clarified earlier. Now, in your manuals, I put a line there, put a title in that says, The Theology of Planning. And 1 Chronicles 28:13, it says, he gave him instructions for the division of the priests and the Levites, and for all the working, the work of serving in the temple of the Lord, as well as for all the articles to be used in its service. So notice, here he gives us the four essential keys of, or the four benefits for planning. Number one, good planning enables us to give clear instructions. It says in verse 13, he gave him instructions. In other words, when we have... Here's what happened to us. When we started creating plans and building the structure, it's funny how people don't like structure and systems. If you don't like structure and systems, you really don't like yourself. Because your entire body is made of structure and systems. In fact, you will not function every day without your bone structure and without your internal systems. Your reproductive system, your immune system, all of that is system. And all of that's hooked up together in an internal bone structure. Just go to the mirror and bathe your body and you realize if you don't like systems and structure, you probably don't like yourself very much. Okay? Because that's who you are. That's how God designed it. Okay? Now, obviously, we all know that the imperative and the top value is your spirit. But that spirit functions, will function within the confines of a structure in the systems. So if you don't like that, you better start liking it. Okay? Because, okay? So it enables us to give for key volunteers. And that's what we did. We created a structure, a superstructure, where we divided victory, real life, life box, missions, management. In so doing, enables us to give clear instructions. If you don't have a plan and a structure, there's nothing to be clear about because you're going to have 100 different things running all around. Okay? You bog down usually. The bog down typically happens because things are unclear and the instructions are not clear. Number two, it says, he gave them instructions for the divisions of the priests and the Levites. Plans allow us to work in teams. When you build the structure and you build the plans, it allows you to work in teams. The clearer the plans, the more efficiently a team can function. One of my favorite stories is the story of Disney World. If you've ever been to Disney World, drive from here all the way down to Bulacan. Okay, look at the distance from here to Bulacan. and then make four, make that into a square. That's Disney World. Okay? It's the largest single on-site employer in the world. In other words, if you go to Disney World, there are many companies that have thousands of employees, but Disney World is the largest in the world on-site. It has over 50,000 employees on-site. Can you picture the parking lot? The parking lot is 10 miles away from their job, and it goes into a tunnel so that nobody sees the employees come in. Can you picture? Disneyland, Disney World is so clear in its vision and structure and culture, and its deliverable, its value. Its value and vision is very clear. You know what their value is? Fantasy. Your job is create fantasy every day. Everybody who steps inside this thing, your job is to create fantasy. So in a fantasy world, babies and children don't cry. So every member of the staff is trained that if a baby cries, whether you're selling popcorn, churros, you're in charge of that, you're sweeping the floor, your job, all of you, is to make him cry. Offer him anything to stop him cry, because in a fantasy world, children don't cry. Their job, one of their jobs is there's no garbage in Disney. Because in a fantasy world, there's no garbage. So all garbage cans in Disney is hydraulically suctioned out. As soon as you drop that thing, at a certain level, it just gets pumped out. Because in a fantasy world, there is no garbage. Talk about vision and clarity. 65% return business. Count the percentage of the people who come to your church. If everybody stayed, how big will our church be? How many people come here and leave? Because they weren't satisfied. Why is it that in certain places in the world, Mickey Mouse is more popular than Jesus? Have you ever asked that question? And when you think about value exchange, it doesn't even match. But think about 65% people return, and at very expensive prices and hotels. And let me give you why. Because the values and the vision and the structure is so clear to everybody. One of my favorite stories is when one guy went to a conference, and he went inside his hotel room, checked in his suite, he gets out, and he waves a bus, one of the shuttles, and he gets in the bus. And the bus driver greets him, good morning, sir, welcome to Disney World. Where are you? I'm here for a conference. I came early, the conference starts tomorrow. I'm just wanted to look around, says, everything all right with your room? Yeah, it's perfect. Then as soon as he was getting out of the bus, he said, you know what, come to think of it, the room's great, except that I noticed there was a leak in my faucet. So he gets out of the bus and he goes to the park. At 10 o'clock in the evening, he goes back to his room. He gets in his room, he switches on the light, and all of a sudden, in his sink, there's a card that says, this is from Ben, the driver of the bus. I desire to pop in your hotel and let the guys know that there's a leak in your faucet. Hope it's fixed. Clear. Because in a fantasy world, faucets don't leak. In other words, everybody's so clear about what the vision and the value is. And that's why people go and pay for $5 Cokes. Because the vision and the value is clear. And when you clarify that and keep clarifying that and your teams are clear, you'll deliver it and you'll deliver it and you'll deliver it, and the value gets bigger and the value gets bigger and the value gets bigger, and people start talking about it and talking about it, and the value gets bigger and the value gets bigger. And if you think that doesn't apply to church, that's how we're going to lose this war. In fact, that's how we're losing this war. Clear so far? Number three, it allows us to determine the work to be done. It says, for all the work of serving. He gave him instructions for the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the work of serving. In other words, these instructions were not just given for instructions. They were given for all the work of what? Serving. The purpose of all of clarification is to give clear instructions, to allow us to work in teams, and to determine what the job description is. That's why we're doing staff dev and not a seminar in a school, because what we're saying is, this is what we have to deliver. Right? Clear. Number four, it allows us to maximize the use of our resources. It says, in the temple of the Lord, as well as for all the articles to be used in its service. He's saying, number one, hear the instructions. Number two, here are the teams. Number three, here's the job description. And number four, here are the resources and here's how they're supposed to be used and maximized. You start building an organization like this, you're not only going to create values, you're going to enjoy life because you're going to be fulfilled. And when you see people come back and say, I'm so happy about the way you live life. I'm so happy about the way you do church. When you start receiving emails and people saying, wow, I thank you for the way Children's Church is done. You're going to feel good. And the word spreads. Okay? Maximize your resources. By that, I mean time, manpower, facilities. Wait a minute, I'm past the time. Keep doing this. Sorry. 10-minute break.
I get extra?
I get extra?
I get extra, yeah. We'll be back at 3:32.
All right. Said the boss. You know what? I can break right here. Let me end in a few seconds here. Time, manpower, facilities, logistics, and finance.
When you allow, maximize the use of your resources. What do I mean by resources? Your time. You have limited time. And given the fact that you have
these, here's the top thing. I learned this from my Swiss and German partners. I remember when they would walk into my office, we would all be in our Hong Kong office, and they'd walk in and say, you gotta close that computer. And let's go to the club. And we'd all close our computers and we'd all sit there by Victoria Harbor. And these guys are in their 70s. They're actually in their 80s now. They're still traveling around the world. So, man, one of my commitments to my personal life is when those guys are in their deathbed, I'm going to fly over there because I've been sharing the gospel for them, but they can't receive it because they're honorable men. They're good men. They're good husbands, good fathers. They're not abusive. They're the only thing missing for them is they're so self-righteous they don't have God. But I learned this from them. It says the only way you're going to sustain something is you've got to learn how to start and end the day. The reason why people cannot sustain themselves because they never started their day and they don't know how to end it. And that's why you're always in a panic and rushing. It's not about being corporate. It's about starting your day and getting dressed and going out there and finishing the job so you can go home and sit there and relax. Because if you don't do it that way, you won't finish anything, number one. Number two, you can't sustain it. It'll be unhealthy. And I learned it from them. He said, and I asked, Kurt, why do you do that? Because you want sustainability. Because you want to be able to do this even when you're 80, which is true for them. They're still traveling around the world. They're still doing what they're doing because sustainable. You start and end. There's a start, there's a beginning, there's an end. If there's no beginning, where's the end? You have no ending. And then there's a start and a beginning to your resources. So it's a management of that. That's why you want to maximize that. Okay, so we'll take a break. Come back.
3:35.
All right, thank you.